My early childhood roots were in a Catholic church. So I did grow up with a faith foundation of sorts, which I guess set me in good stead for later in life when I did start to pursue faith for myself. After about the age of 8 or 9, for whatever reason, not something that I was ever made privy to, we stopped going. And my faith was then, I was a Christmas and Easter Christian, if you like, as you tend to sort of find with some people, out of a sense of duty perhaps, or because of tradition through families and things like that, they would come. And that's what we did. We went to church at Christmas. And I guess the seeds had been sown as an early child, so there was something there, and it was something that I never really gave any real consideration to. Is there really a God? Until when I was a teenager. Now, bearing in mind the black and white thinking of most teens, I was certainly one of them. And as a teenager, 14, 15, my granddad became very ill. And he was strong in his faith. He was a regular attender of the local Catholic church. And to see him fade away with cancer over a period of 18 months, for me, again, caveated with the black and white thinking of a teenager, there could be no God, because an all-loving, all-powerful God would never let that happen. Coupled with the black and white thinking, there's obviously an element of naivety in there as well. But that put pair to any notion of there being a God. Which begs the question, how did I get here and why am I standing up here wearing a collar? Which we'll come to as we progress through. I'm not going to tell it all in one hit. You'll make you stare for the whole service. But yeah, and all that changed when I went to university, which I'll talk a little bit about shortly. Now I'm going to ask the team to play a YouTube video, and it's a song by Casting Crowns. This song was one that spoke absolute volumes into my life. As a child growing up, I didn't have the greatest experience of school. My self-esteem was non-existent when I went to university and when I was starting to ask real questions and things like that. Once I'd given myself to God, and as I was exploring some of those issues, as God tends to do with us, he takes the lid off the can of worms and lets a few out at a time. It spoke volumes into my life. It was a tough time for me for many reasons, and I felt lost and all at sea. And this song, among others, really struck a chord. It reminds me now of the story of the prodigal son a little bit, the son who turned his back on the father, but was embraced and celebrated when he returned. And for me, God heard me in my time of need, and he caught me. He picked me up, he dusted me off, and he set about equipping me for the journey he knew that I would take. The journey that it took me years to begin, the journey that I ignored for years, but the journey that eventually led me here into ordained ministry. So the words will come up on the screen. If you want to join in and sing along, feel free. If not, sit and listen. The song is "Who Am I" by Casting Crowns. Thank you.
that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor and slow wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am.
A song that spoke very powerfully to me, and I hope it's something that has spoken into you, into your lives, because it's not because of who we are, it's not because of what we've done, it's because of Him, it's because of what He's done. And God alone tells us who we are. Too often we listen to the voices of other people, the unhelpful words spoken to us, the bullying we might have faced at school, or the criticism that can be heaped upon us by others, by ourselves. But God doesn't do that. Yes, he'll correct, he'll guide us, but he tells us who we are, and he loves each and every one of us. Shortly, I'm going to ask Margaret to come up and bring us our reading from Hebrews 11. Just before I do that, I mentioned obviously that I came to faith when I went to university. Before that, I didn't quite know what I wanted to do with my life. I always wanted to be a pilot. I applied for the RAF, and they turned around and said, just one problem. If you ever have to eject from a fighter jet, you'll lose your leg there. Because from my hip to my knee was too long. And that kind of scuppered all of my childhood dreams in one foul swoop. I did try and argue that I never planned to eject, but they weren't planning to. They weren't prepared to take that risk. So I sort of, as I sort of alluded to, I was a little bit lost at sea. I changed my air levels from the maths and physics, which I needed to be a pilot, to I ended up doing law, psychology, and economics. Why not? And that didn't quite go according to plan. And I then went on and did an HND in engineering, going back to something which would perhaps get me involved with aircraft, albeit on the ground, not in the air. And that led me on to university and doing aerospace engineering. And thus began my journey of faith. Now, Hebrews 11 talks all about people of faith. So I'm going to ask Margaret if she would come up and read that to us. Now, it's a long passage, but Margaret is a willing volunteer. So over to Margaret.
By faith that I stand here and read this long reading this evening. It's to be found in the Church Bibles on page 1209. St. Paul the Apostle, his letter to the Hebrews, about faith in action. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched round them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Japheth, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much. That was a bit of a marathon passage to read. But it's a fascinating passage because in, I would say, those few short verses, it's quite a chunk of scripture, but it reminds us so much of all the people that have gone before us and who've stepped out in faith in obedience to God. From my own point of view, from my journey, if it wasn't for somebody stepping out in faith and being obedient to God, I wouldn't have found faith myself. As I said before, I'd completely rubbished any concept of there being a God, because of the idea that an all-loving, all-powerful God just wouldn't have allowed my granddad to die. Very naive. I look back at it and I think, what was I thinking? But that was what I was going through at the time. So I went to university, made friends with people I was doing my course with, and one of those happened to be going out with a member of the Christian Union at university, and she was very forthright in her faith, I think is the term that is most charitable. And I wasn't. I had no faith. I was of an engineering, scientific sort of mindset, and I was hugely antagonistic. I was horrible. I was doing whatever it would take to try and prove that she was wrong, to prove that there was no God, that I was right, and her faith was just a lot of rubbish. So when I started pitching questions, she started coming back with answers. So when I came back with more complicated questions, she would go away and come back later with the answers. And when the questions got more and more complicated, she eventually started coming and throwing, not literally, but throwing books at me. Because she saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. She saw somebody who was seeking God, even though I didn't know it. And if she tried to tell me that, I wouldn't have accepted that. I wouldn't have believed that. That wasn't on my radar at all, to get back into aircraft terms. But her perseverance and her faith and her prayers for me eventually led me to faith myself. Shortly after university, I was still living in the area, so our paths still crossed, and I'd eventually made friends with some of the people that she knew through the Christian Union, that she knew through the church that she was going to. And I started going along to church just to find out what it was all about. She'd sowed enough of a seed and watered it enough and nurtured it that actually I'd got to a point where I thought, there's something in this, and started to explore it. I went on an Alpha course. I went to a carol service for Christian bikers. That's a whole other talk. But very interesting. And that led me to faith. Shortly after that, I moved to Hertfordshire with work. Struggled a little bit with change. You up sticks and you move to a new house, a new workplace, try to find a new church, and it starts to sound a bit familiar, isn't it, Sophie? And that was hard, because I was very new in my faith, and all of a sudden I've upped sticks and moved from Hampshire to Hertfordshire, knew absolutely nobody. So I was driving from Boreham Wood down to Farnborough every week to go to church, because that was stable, that was my comfort zone. And that was difficult, but God saw that, and he actually sent somebody from that church to St Albans to work, and together we ended up finding a church in St Albans where we both worshipped together, and I worshipped there for a long time. My friend ended up going back to South Africa when their visa ran out. But it's interesting how God puts people in our paths at just the time that we need it. Carol came along when I was at uni and led me to faith. Leonie came along when I'd moved to Hertfordshire, and together the pair of us lost in two different towns, managed to find a church close enough to both of us that we could worship in. If God hadn't done that, so immature was my faith that it could have quite easily just withered away and amounted to nothing. But God is good. God honours us when we step out, when we have that desire to follow him, to find out more. He honours that. And it was probably about that time that I first started hearing this niggling voice about, you should look at ordained ministry. Nah, never going to happen. Not in a million years. The idea of me standing up there or up here and acting like I know what I'm doing and what I'm talking about filled me with dread. It was so far out of my comfort zone. It was just, no, find somebody else. But as I continued to learn more about myself, to find out more about my faith in God and who he was, and to get to know, and it's still a work in progress, but to get to know God here, not just here, the biggest step on our journey that we'll ever take has taken God from there to there. And that's a journey that I will be on forever, I think. I've lost my train of thought. Where was I going? This is what happens when you don't script things. So God was with me throughout all the trials and tribulations, the joys, the tears in life. And he started getting me to examine a lot of what I thought about myself and how I thought other people saw me. And that was the start of a journey towards the here and now. For a long time, I still said, no, not me, nowhere, find somebody else. I'd been involved in St. John Ambulance for years and years and years. And I did feel passionate about doing something which helped people, which reached out to people, which touched people's lives. So the natural thing to do was to explore the ambulance service. So I sat down with two paramedic friends. We filled out all the application forms. It was all singing, all dancing, ticked all the boxes. It should have been a shoo-in. But they came back and said, no, there's not enough information here. God shut the door. I applied for the police force, handed it over to God, didn't know whether it was right. The ambulance service didn't know whether that was right, but I was trying to do things my way. I looked at the police force. I went up to Cambridge, had a fitness test, come back down. And for anybody that knows the A1 at the M25 interchange, you come off that slip road, there are traffic lights at the top. They were green, that was fine. As you come round, there's another set of lights to allow traffic out the services. Not another car in sight, but those lights weren't green. I came that close to being taken out by a truck coming herring out from the services, and there was a traffic car tucked in behind it. So, points on the license, put pair to my application to the police force. God firmly closing the door, and not a thing I could do about it. I looked at the Air Force, aircraft, getting involved in that, doing something which is serving the country. Seemed like a good idea. Wasn't too sure it was something I'd looked at before. Thought, explore it again. Went for an interview. They recommended me from the interview to the Officer Air Crew Selection Centre. But because I'd prayed into it and I'd handed it up to God, I didn't make the cut. But they couldn't tell me why. They'd recommended me. But God had closed the door. There just must have been an abundance of people. But again, God closing the door. And during this time, the chronology's altered. The timings are all out. They happen in all sorts of different orders to how I'm explaining it. But during this time, at St. Paul's in St. Albans, I joined a home group. I met Rebecca. We obviously got to know each other because we're married with kids now. And that church that became home, grew me, developed me, fed my faith, healed me. And this is where that Casting Crown song comes in, where I was in a really tough time, and I didn't think very much of myself at all. But God does. God thinks the world of each and every one of us sat in here today and everybody else out there. God loves us all, and it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. God loves you. It takes a huge leap of faith to accept that here. And it was through friends encouraging me in my journey of faith, helping me through those storms, making sure that I wasn't losing sight of God in the midst of everything that was going on. Friends like Carol, who lived down in Surrey, has always been a very close friend. Is Sophie's godmother now. We still keep in touch. Rebecca, obviously, played a huge part in that. But when it came to new wine in 2013, after years of saying no to God, and I'd gone up for prayer, and you get that tap on your shoulder from God saying, right, you've tried it your way. Now get off your backside and do what I'm telling you to. At this point, given I'd been ignoring it for 8, 9, 10 years, Rebecca was oblivious to the fact that I'd even felt a call to ordination. So it was a complete bolt out of the blue for her. But I had a chat with my incumbent, Tim Horlock, who some of you will be well aware of, who served his curacy here many, many years ago. He put me in touch with the vocations team, and they started the journey towards ordination. Now, it wasn't something I wanted to do. But I got to a point where I thought, I've got to open this door. I've tried everything else I can think of, and God's still telling me to do this. So I got on that train, that slow train that they described the journey towards ordination as, to see where it went. Hoping deep down that it would stop at a station on the way and kick me out. I spent 3 years exploring and discerning that call to ministry. What it means to be a minister in the, not just in a church, but in the Church of England. And at the end of that, I went to Bishop's Advisory Panel, which is, I always equate it to Officer Aircrew Selection Centre. It's a 3-day interrogation, and rather than trying to break you physically, they try to break you mentally. It's not that bad for anybody who is considering ordination, but they are thorough, and the idea is that they're making sure that the people that they put forward for training aren't going to crash and burn during training, that they're people that they fully expect to come out the other side and end up like me, or better. But yeah, I went to bat, and they said yes. And I had to look at it several times, think, did they really say yes? But they recommended me for training, and for me, that was quite a proud moment, but it was quite a humbling moment as well. The pride, I suppose, in knowing that I was actually fulfilling, starting to really fulfill the call that God had placed on my life, and I wasn't just imagining it, and it was what God really wanted me to do. Humbling, equally, because it was what God really wanted me to do. When I first started exploring, I chatted to a friend, and I said to him, he'd just started training. And I said, how do you know if God's really calling you to ordained ministry? And he just looked at me and said, why? And I said, well, I know who I am. I know my life. I know what baggage I bring. But I feel he's calling me. It's the last thing I want to do. And he said, you need to go and speak to Tim. And it was my turn to say, why? And he said, because that's exactly why God calls people. He doesn't want somebody who comes on and says, I think I'll make a great vicar. I've got it all sorted. Let me in. And had I done that to my friend, he'd have told me to go away and think about it for 6 months. But no, because it was something that I felt God was asking me to do and not something I wanted to do. He said, you need to explore it. And so I did. Got through about 3 years of training, allegedly part-time, while working allegedly only full-time, is quite a challenge and quite a strain on the family. Working full-time, travelling with work, travelling with my training, studying, trying to do assignments, trying to write sermons, trying to get the day job done as well. It is a juggling act. And it's one that I think we survived. Yes? No? Just about, maybe. And that led to ordination. 4 weeks ago. And nothing about that. The ambulance service, the police service, the RAF, none of them felt completely right. All the time I was pushing those doors and exploring those things because I wasn't listening to God. When I started listening to God, even though it might not have been what I wanted to do, everything about it felt right. As hard as it was trying to juggle everything, as tough as it was on family and on friendships that suffer as well when you're just that busy. But it never felt wrong. When I came here last August, when we came as a family to look around, in the July, I think it was, when last year when I'd come to meet Richard for the first time, I knew within 30 seconds, a minute, that I could work with Richard. That it was just that dynamic, and that was the one thing that people say. Above everything else, you need to be able to work with your training incumbent, because they're responsible for turning you into a vicar in another 3 years' time. And again, it wasn't the first curacy I was offered, but the first one, it didn't feel right for me. It didn't feel right for the training incumbent. When I came to meet Richard, when they offered me Christchurch Bedford, it felt right from the very start. We came here and had a look around, and straight away, it felt like we were coming home. It felt like a place I could worship for the next 3 years. It felt like a place where I could try all sorts of weird and wacky things out on you, so you're forewarned. But yeah, that's kind of me. That's my story. That's what got me here. I'm going to ask the guys to play another YouTube video shortly. It's King of Love and Grace, My Guardian. And it speaks to me of trusting in God, of having faith in his plans for our lives and giving everything to him. All our hopes, all our fears. And it was something that was very much current for me when I was exploring the call that God was placing on me. When he called me to trust and obey, it was very much a walk of faith. And I had absolutely no idea when I started seriously exploring where it was going to lead. The only thing that I did know is that it would lead me to wherever it was that he wanted me to be. It's one that we sing in church. If you want to stand, we can all join in and sing it. Afterwards, I'm going to invite you to get into small groups. Have a little chat amongst yourselves. And then if there's anything that I haven't said that you want to ask, feel free. We'll have a few minutes of Q&A. I'm aware it's 7:30. I'm not entirely sure what time the evening service is meant to finish, but we'll have a few questions, and then we'll close with a few more worship songs. So, King of Love and Grace.